Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome. This is What's Your Ruth here. Here, there, and everywhere. Lunatic Fringe, things you don't want to know about, we used to all talk about. 7:30, I love mornings. 10, 11, 13. Things are getting pretty sick out there in the world, isn't it? I just kind of feel the darkness is almost as thick as you can cut it with a knife. All the news is just so awful. That freeze that killed, what, that 75,000 steer? Wasn't that amazing? Wow. You know, we're not supposed to be dwelling in the depths and the mire and the darkness that's upon the earth, but keeping our mind on things of the Most High God, dwelling in the hand of the Most High God in the secret places, keeping our thoughts on higher things, things not of the world, things not of the flesh, but of the Spirit in the mighty works of God. But it is really hard. I know one of my children came over yesterday, and we went out to our favorite restaurant to eat during happy hour because I can get a $4 burger. And on the little video screen, I'd noticed that there was Casey Anthony was up on the screen, the mother that somehow I feel had contributed to the demise of her stepson, whose name escapes me at the moment, senior moment here, but anyway. You know, how in the world could a human being take a young child away from their parent and contribute to their demise? It is something that a normal person could not, their brain can't wrap around. They just, because it's not an intrinsic part of who they are. And especially if you're truly a Holy Spirit-driven Christian that loves Jesus, because those are realms of darkness that light can't enter into. And you know, there's no darkness where there's light, and if you're always in the light, you just can't wrap your brain around those god-awful things. So, but anyway, it is out there. We are in the world. We're not of the world, but we are in the world, and we must face that fact. And not to get too harpy today, but, and I do have a lot to study on, but I watched another video this morning. I get up really early, and I miss a program that I very much like to watch or listen to every Wednesday evening. However, I cannot because I need to go to bed. At any rate, not to digress. But this video I watched, so frustrating. Because this gentleman who thinks he walks with God and is giving all this wonderful advice is but foolish in giving foolhardy advice, telling the brothers and the sisters that it is sinful to discern within the church, and that you're not to judge, that you're not to discern about those who are in the church. And you can tell me I am as wrong can be, but I'm going to stand and testify that I am not indeed wrong. Because I've read the Word of God, and I know what it says. And it says, those who are in the world, those who are the thieves, the adulterers, those who use unequal scales to measure, those who plot at night in their dreams to do treachery to their brothers, them you don't judge, because they're of the world. They're not supposed to be set apart. But I mean to tell you that if these are brother and sister Christians that are behaving as if they are part of the world, then you better get discerning right away. Because a little leaven leaveneth the whole loaf. And if you allow in a portion of their foolish doctrine, the doctrines of men make void the word of God. They do not discern those things which are coming from the Holy Spirit because they have never been enlightened to them. They don't have discerning ears. They do not have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand what the truth is. So do not be led astray by those who say it is not your job to discern. Because if you don't discern yourself right out of a bad environment, you might become party to it. So I just say, beware of those who say you are not to know and discern what evil is and to separate yourself from it, because it says, have no party with evil. Do not even say good day to it. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Not by words that are fabricated out of someone's heart that cannot discern the truth. Because many will be misled by Satan. Many, 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 many. So, but remember this, if you give a little, you will get a little. A farmer who plants just a few seeds will get only a small crop. If he plants much, he will reap much. God is able to make up everything you need and give you more and more so that there will not only be enough for you and your own needs, but plenty left over to give joy to others. Godly man, give generously to the poor. His good deeds will be an honor to him forever. God has created mighty weapons. These weapons can break down every proud argument against God and every wall that can be built to keep men from finding him. With these weapons, I capture these rebels and then bring them back to God and correct them, changing them into men whose hearts then desire to be obedient to Christ. God's mighty weapons are not those made by man to knock down the devil's strongholds, but it is an ordinary, weak, broken human beings. And it is not the plans of humans and methods of humans that he uses to win battles. And he doesn't need to prove how rough or harsh he can be, because he can carry out every plan against anyone who seems to think that his words are merely those of ordinary men. They are not. They are supernatural words. Something happened. Even before I was born, God chose me to be his and called me. What kindness and grace to reveal his son within me so that I could go and show the good news about him. Galatians 2:15. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm telling you this is the very presence of God. This is exactly what happened. I'm not lying to you. 14 years ago, I went up to heaven in the body or not, in the spirit, I do not know. God is great, and he uses me to win Gentiles. And God gave each of us special gifts. And we must always remember to help and to help with eager forces, as the word commands. Trust in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not one who treats Christ's death as meaningless. For he loved me. He gave himself for me. And I honor that. And I try to obey all of his laws. And I've come to realize that accepting God comes by believing in Christ alone. And I know very well that I cannot become right with God by obeying Jewish laws, but only by the faith of Jesus Christ to take away my sin. And I know that I have trusted Jesus Christ and I've been accepted by God because of my faith, not because I've obeyed Jewish laws. Because no one has ever been saved by obeying those. I only trust in Christ to save me. Those who trust in Jewish laws that cannot be saved without being circumcised and obeying all the other Jewish laws. Wouldn't we need to say that faith in us with Christ had ruined us then? God forbid anyone should say that. Rather, that we are sinners if we start rebuilding all those old systems, then we're destroying what Jesus has done. And you're trying to be saved by Jewish laws. For if it was through reading scriptures that I came to realize that I could never find God's favor by trying to obey those laws and then failing to obey them, I came to realize that accepting with God comes by believing in Christ alone. For I have been crucified with Christ, and I myself no longer live, but Christ who lives within me. And the real life I now live in this body is only a result in trusting in the Son of God who loved me because he gave himself from, for, and with me. For if trying to obey the Jewish laws gave you the spiritual life you needed, we would never have needed Christ. You can see that the real children of Abraham, these are all the men of faith who trust. Truly trust in Jesus Christ. It's clear that no one can ever win God's favor by trying to keep Jewish laws, because God has said that the only way we can be right in his sight is by faith. Just as the prophet Habakkuk says, the man who finds life will find it through trusting God. Christ has brought us out from under the doom of that impossible system. He took away this curse, and he took it upon himself. Do you not remember, and is it not sad, anyone who was hung on a cross was cursed, and that was Jesus Christ? And even promises made to one another, they cannot change what was said. The promise that was made, it was written down and signed in blood, and it cannot be changed. Here's what I'm trying to say. God's promise to save you through faith And God wrote this promise down. And he signed it. It could not be canceled or changed. 400 years and 30 years later, when God gave the Ten Commandments, Galatians 3:17. If obeying those laws could have saved us, then it is obvious that this would be a different way of gaining God's favor than Abraham's way. For he simply accepted God's promises. And now we are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Yes? And now, I need you to know, before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to so-called gods that did not even exist. But now, you have been set free. You have been bought freedom and liberty, and you are no more slaves to the law, but you have been adopted in, grafted in as a wild olive tree, grafted in to the cultured olive tree. And you were adopted as his very own. We are his sons of God, and he has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts so that now we can rightly speak of God as our Father. And we are no longer slaves. We are his sons, and everything that he has belongs to us. This was what God planned from the very beginning. Don't try to find favor with what you do on earth. In certain days or months or seasons or years, don't reform the foundational hard work, for that then will be worth nothing. You will then be sick again because you will be revolting against the truth. For God loved and cared for you so much that he sent his Son. This is a true story. It is written, Abraham had two sons, one from his slave wife and one from his freeborn wife. There was nothing unusual about the birth of the slave wife's baby, but the baby of the freeborn wife was only after God was specially promised that he would come. Now, this is a true story. It's an illustration. Two ways of God's helping people. He did this by giving his commandments on Mount Sinai. One way is called the slave woman Hagar. She's represented by the Jews in the old system. But our mother city is the heavenly Jerusalem, and she is not a slave to Jewish laws. That is what Isaiah meant when he prophesied, now you can rejoice, O childless women, you can shout with joy, though you've never been with a child. For I am going to give you many children, more children than your slave wife has. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love others as you have loved me. Don't show yourselves to be boastful. Watch out. Show love among yourselves. And don't be always critical and catty among each other. I advise you to only obey the Holy Spirit's instructions. He will tell you where to go and what to do, and then you will always be doing what wrong things your evil nature wants you to do. I only wish these teachers would want to cut themselves off and leave you alone, because you've been given freedom. Freedom to love and serve each other. You are not children of the slave child, slave wife. When you are guided by the Holy Spirit, you no longer need to force yourself to obey Jewish laws, but when you follow your own wrong inclinations, your lives will produce these evil results: impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, spiritualism, hatred, fighting, jealousy, anger, constant effort to get the best of yourself, complaints, criticisms, the feelings that everyone else is wrong except those in your own little exclusive group. And then there will be all the wrong doctrines of men that make void the word of God. Envy, murder, drunkenness, wild parties, and all those sorts of things. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living these sorts of lives will not inherit the kingdom of God. How long can you claim to be and belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and show favoritism to certain people, make fusses about certain people, show mercy to some and not others? Hasn't God chosen everyone, the poor, the rich in faith, the brokenhearted? Hasn't he given the promise to all those that love him? Isn't it the rich that usually drag you into court and mock Jesus Christ? Anyone who says he's a Christian and isn't taking care of the pure and poor and the widows and the orphans, who doesn't remain true to the Lord and doesn't remain pure with his compacts with the world, brings in the leaven, which brings in envy, murder, drunkenness, wild parties, and all those sorts of things. Let me tell you again that I've seen these before, and anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom. And anyone that lives those sorts of lives will not have mercy shown on them. But mercy has been shown to you, God's mercy towards you. Those you will win over, and those who have his judgment, they still have those judgments against him, those without faith, and those who do not result in good deeds, because their faith doesn't result in any good deeds. So don't you see and can't you understand that it isn't enough just to say that you have faith, but you must also do good to prove that you have it? Faith alone doesn't show itself, but good works. Without good works, faith is dead and useless. Do you not know, and isn't it said, the body is dead when there is no spirit in it? So faith is dead. It is not the kind that results in good deeds. The tongue can say good deeds, but then it can also do a lot of damage when it doesn't make its promises and oaths true, and then it becomes like a forest and sets on fire. A man is saved by what he does, as well as what he says and what he believes. Yes. Obey God because you are his children, and don't slip back into your old ways, doing evil because you know to do better. Be holy now in everything you do, just as the Lord is holy, who invited you himself, who grafted you in because you were the wild olive tree. and he is the cultured tree. And then he says, and to bring you into remembrance to that, he himself has said, you must be holy for I am holy. And remember that your Heavenly Father to whom you pray hasn't got a favorite. He judges evenly among all men of faith. And this is the good news that's plainly been announced to all of us, and it was preached to us in the power of the same heaven-sent Holy Spirit who spoke to him and them and us. Then and now, as it was, so shall it be. There is nothing new under the sun. And is it so strange and wonderful that even the angels in heaven would give a great deal to know more about it? So that you would know today and that you should walk forward soberly and intelligently and more aware to discuss in season and out of season within your home and out in the field God's kindness to you about the day when Jesus Christ returns. Be holy now, just as in everything you do, because the Lord is holy, and he invited you to be his child. And he asks you to put your trust in him. And you can. And because of this, your trust can be in God, who raised Christ from the dead. He gave him great glory. And now, if your faith is in him, rest in him. Your hope is in him alone. You can have true rest and love for everyone because his spirit, his love that now dwells in you has cleansed you from selfishness, hatred. You trusted Christ and he saved you. And he says, now, see to it that you really love each other warmly so that you will have a new life. It wasn't given to you by your mother or your father. That life is temporal. That life is just like a pot. It's just temporary. It does not last forever. For your new life lasts forever, and it comes from Christ, God's ever-living message to man. Our natural lives do fade away as grass does when it becomes all brown and gray, dry, and our greatness only dwells in the Word, because the Word will last forever. And his message is the good news, as it was preached to you. So now that you realize this, now that you know how wonderful and kind and loving God is and what he's done for you, he is so precious. And he has chosen you. And now he wants to use you. And you are his holy priests. So come to him acceptable because of Jesus and offer to God all of those things that please him. You have been carefully chosen. And Christ has come as the precious cornerstone of the church. He will never disappoint those who trust him. Now go out in your day and honor him and be the most important part of the building. Be the most important part. And drag someone else along the way and be a blessing. I hope to talk to you tomorrow.